It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly every Monday night. Brandon Graham Show at 6. And then tonight, the Players Lounge at 7 with this week's guest, Landon Dickerson. Donovan McNabb joins us every Monday at 4. It's brought to you by United Tire. Now's the time to make the right choice about who services your car. United Auto Service. Go to UnitedTire.com. That's UnitedTire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. Donovan, how are we feeling?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Oh, you know, pissed off about a win. Normal Monday.
Yeah. Yep, yep. Never happy. You know how we are. Yep, never happy.
So, Donovan, let me ask you this. So there's been a lot of talk today, both locally and nationally, about Nick Sirianni going over and jawing with fans, who I assume were booing him. You certainly had moments in Philadelphia of, back and forth with fans, at least their frustration and your frustration back. How do you, as a player in a city like this, a player or a coach, deal with that sort of response from a fan base and keep yourself focused on the task at hand?
I don't pay attention to it. I mean, I hear it. I mean, you can't help but hear it sometimes when it's on talk radio or maybe a media member brings it up or you hear them during the game. I don't play into it. And that was part of the reason why a lot of people were sideways with me, because all I did was laugh. I just smiled and go to work. You know, my job is to focus in on my job and be prepared for the other 52 players that are on the team and the 10 guys that are on the field with me. I could care less of how you feel about me from a football standpoint, a personal standpoint, or whatever, because their feelings don't control what I do. And so for Nick Sirianni, I mean, I get it. You know, he's pissed off, and they want to be heard, and he heard it. So he responded. But the thing about it for him is, you know, you always got to keep a little bit of professionalism with it. That's not the way to go. I wouldn't condone that. But the funny thing to me is the response of it all. If you go at a man and you try to degrade him and talk, belittle him, and he responds, then you got a problem with it. Then you got to understand what the consequences might be. So I just think he could have handled it in a professional manner, being the head coach of a football team and the face of an organization. And that's the way that I handled it while I played.
So let's say you're a player in that locker room, and then you see Sirianni do that at the end of the game. Your response to seeing, because certainly here you wouldn't have had a coach that would have done that. What would your response as a player be to seeing the coach do that?
I wouldn't have a response. I mean, again, everybody handles situations differently. And you know, I mean, look, I grew up in Chicago, and I watched the Bears play, and then when Brian Cox, the way he handled situations, I've watched, you know, other players, you know, react, because it just kind of got fed up with it, and they reacted to it. I didn't react that way, and so my mindset is a little bit different. I mean, I'm sure some of the players, if they handled it the way I did, maybe they kind of talked to him secretly and let him know if he didn't know what it would kind of stir up. And so I just think, to be honest with you, I don't think it's that much of a big story like everybody is making it out to be, because at the end of the day, they won the football game and didn't win it in great fashion. And so it kind of took over what the conversation would be, you know, throughout the week. And it's unfortunate that this is the conversation. But as far as, you know, for Nick Sirianni and probably Jeffrey Lurie, the conversation will be had and they'll get back to business as usual.
Yeah, it's the messaging coming out of the locker room, at least from some of the leaders on the team, they seem to sort of identify with some of his frustration, and they want to rally around him, right? Like, they want to support him and sort of have his and have his back. So I think it's something, right? I know for us, as a teammate of yours, we know you took a lot of sling and arrows for us as the face of the franchise. And I can only speak about when I played here. I know it made us want to at least, you know, we got our teammates back. We got our guys back. We got Donovan's back. You know, regardless of what people are saying out there, we're going to go out there and play and try to win, because I know this will turn that narrative around. You think that's something that the team can sort of use as a rallying cry with Nick?
I believe that. And the funny thing is how what leading into this, remember the conversation was always about the relationship of Jalen and Nick.
Yeah.
And listen, I mean, not every player, star player, quarterback, head coach has that smooth relationship. You know, we all go through some ups and downs. I mean, look at Bill Belichick and Tom Brady didn't have the greatest of relationships. But it's just, you know, it's Philadelphia. It's a topic of conversation, and this just adds to it. And to be honest with you, too, you're correct. I think they use this as a little rallying cry to support Nick. But again, it goes back to what type of leaders do they have in that locker room? Because, you know, the Jason Kelce's, you know, he's gone. And you know, Lane is getting up there in age. And Fletcher Cox is gone.
Yeah.
The older guys, the elder statesmen, are starting to kind of weed out a little bit. But the younger leaders now have to step up, and do they support Nick, or is this one in which they kind of just gonna back away from it and kind of just let him just take the bullet?
I tell you, it was great to see. Well, now I guess everybody can judge it on their own as to how authentic they may think Jalen was when speaking about Nick Sirianni, but it was still, I thought, a positive sign to see Jalen speak sort of glowingly and in support of Nick Sirianni, his personality, and sort of getting back to being himself. I think because if you got the quarterback and the head coach on the same page, I think sort of everybody else sort of falls in line too.
Well, I mean, again, it's so funny how we tried to break down everything that Jalen says. Mm-hmm. And when we went on the Super Bowl run, everybody was loving the cliches and loving the kind of terms that he was using. All of a sudden things go kind of sour a little bit, and all of a sudden we're nitpicking what he's saying, and then we're looking at the relationship. Look, I know from personally talking to Jalen that he supports Nick. Now, obviously, are they on different pages maybe at times? Yeah, but that's kind of what happens in professional rank. So I just think for the Philadelphia Eagles in this situation, the best thing that they can do as a team is to support Nick. Even if half of them don't support Nick, but to support Nick and be able to come together better as a football team. Because in regards of this situation, luckily it's taking the heat off of the kind of deficiencies of this football team. And maybe this will help them come closer together and individually be able to elevate their game to be able to get back on track of where they need to be.
Donovan McNabb with us, as he is every Monday at 4. Okay, how about a football question? I was thinking about that. We're going to ask you about actual football. So the we got 4 hours, you know. The offense, there's something about this Eagles offense, even with everybody back now, that does not seem to be functioning at the high level that we expected, given the talent on offense. Watching the team, where do you think that starts? Why are they not able to sort of get in a rhythm and actually have the sort of dominant performances that we expected prior to the season?
Really, we have no identity. Like, that, I mean, this is something that's been going on since the beginning of it. And listen, I always thought Kellen Moore was a great offensive mind. I always felt like, you know, he stat-wise, his quarterback to put up great numbers. I think in certain situations you may scratch your head a little bit, but not more than likely. I think he's kind of a guy that understands the game and positioning of it. But to be honest with this football team, like on paper, we're well-groomed. We're well-groomed to have one of the best offenses in the league, and we should. But we have to either run the offense through Saquon Barkley in our offensive line, and then the play action game kind of feeds off of that, or we're just going to become a drop back passing team, and we're not the drop back passing team that we should or could be. But I think we have to start with being able to run the football and set up the play action. Look, it was a point in the game, to be honest with you, where I was like, man, where is Dallas? Like, I mean, how many times do I bring it up? But, you know, yeah. We got to, no matter what tight end is in there, we got to make sure that that's kind of a point of emphasis to be able to establish the middle of the football field. And then we can use Saquon in the passing game, too, as well. So I just think for this football team, we got to figure out who we are and be able to do that each and every week.
Look at Jalen's play coming out of the bye week. Kind of give us a quick, analysis of what you thought he did well yesterday.
Well, the pass to Devontae and a couple passes that he made were great. I just think we just have to continue to work our consistency, and he'll probably tell you the same with this in the passing game as well as the run game with our run check. Offensively, I think we could take a little bit of pressure off of Jalen, but off the bye week, however you can do it, however you can do it, you got to win. You got to find a way to win. I mean, it wasn't great. It wasn't spectacular, but we found a way to win. The most important games, I think, for us at this position is this next one and the following. Will it be one we'll continue to climb, or will we be a stalemate in these next 2 weeks?
Yeah, this is not an Eagles question, but it's about the team they played yesterday. When Deshaun Watson looks completely lost, when you see him, is there anything salvageable with Deshaun Watson, or is that a player that looks like he may never regain what he had?
From a football player standpoint, is it salvageable? I think we all, as an individual, think that we can rekindle, the old flame that we had or who we were. But I just don't see it happening, that him being back to the quarterback that he was in Texas. But there also is a lot of distractions that he's battling, and people don't understand that part of it. And from a football standpoint, he's battling injury, coming off an injury. He's trying to be the old self that he is, which I think at some point you got to look in the mirror and be, realistic with yourself. And then, from this football team, I just think they're trying to, put pieces together and figure themselves out again. I mean, I know Stefanski, he's a smart guy, and he's trying to do what's right. But, at some point, I just think, they'll probably go to Jameis Winston. But they should, to be honest with you, I didn't think Deshaun played bad in the game against Philadelphia. So it was a change from what he's been doing over the last couple weeks.
It's true.
So we'll see how kind of things move on from there.
Well, Donovan, you must get a warm feeling in your heart when you hear that Philadelphia is exactly the same as when you left. Just know that.
Well, I don't know what that really means.
Well,
I don't know what that means.
We're always mad all the time.
It sounds good to the virgin ear, but what does that really mean?
Well, it means we go to bed angry, we wake up angry.
I think if we played here five, we know what that means. Yeah. Right? I think we're all on the same page. Right? We know what that means. Yeah.
All right, man.
I mean, it might be a little bit different than we played there.
Yeah. All right, Donovan. Thank you, man.
All right, big dog.
All right, guys. You guys take it easy.
All right, yeah. Thanks, Donovan. I wonder.
We're never going to change, man. Come on, man. We are who we are.
I don't want to change at all. Yeah. It's part of the joy of doing sports radio in Philly is how it is here.
Well, some people say we got a little soft after we won the Super Bowl.
Well.
And those standing ovations.
Yes. Which you had nothing to do with, right?
Zero.
Yep. Not soft here anymore. Get us some disappointment. Phillies disappoint us. Eagles disappoint us. Yeah. Don't worry. The Sixers will disappoint us, too. We'll be back.
No, man. That's our next.
They got it.
Come on, man. They got it.
Come on, Spike. Come on.
We'll
get on board.
We'll see.
They're a lock.
200. A lock for what?
Championship.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. Omar in West Philly. Omar, you're on WIP.
Ike, Spike, and Fritz. How's it going, fellas?
What's up, brother? Omar?
Yeah, hey, look here. The reason why the fans booed on that first series was because Barkley got the ball on the first down, got a nice chunk of yardage, and then we threw the ball two times after that. It wasn't because of any personality thing, anything like that. It's because it was a dumb situation. An analogy.
And that's on Kellen Moore, by the way. That's on Kellen Moore.
Can I give you an analogy?
Yes.
It's like being a boxer. You hit somebody with a left hook and you're staggering. And then for the rest of the fight, you just throw jabs. Wouldn't you throw that hook again?
I would, for sure.
Well, but Omar, isn't your opponent going to be waiting for the hook? What an offensive coordinator, I think, would – well, maybe.
That's right.
What an offensive coordinator, I think, would tell you is after you hit them with one thing, they're going to prepare for that thing, so then you have to be able to hit them with something else. So,
well, look here. I say you do what works until it stops working. And then
– by the way, that was part of their scripted 15 plays. Part of their scripted plays.
Love their first 15,
they need to go away from the scripted plays and go with what's working. And the press conference, I have never heard more softball questions in my entire life.
Wow.
Nobody asked the question they should have asked him was, you're going against one of the worst run-stopping teams in the league. Why aren't you pounding the ball? That's the question somebody should have asked Sirianni.
Well, but I think
Saquon was getting. Yeah, he had, what did he get? 2 yards or 2.5 yards per carry?
I think he had 18 carries for 40 some yards. Yeah. It's not the run wasn't working yesterday. Yeah.
Well, they should have given the ball more. He should have gotten at least 20 carries.
Bro, why are we trying to run the ball when you have A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and a $250 million quarterback? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Let me tell you another thing. The touchdown with Smith, the Slim Reaper's touchdown, was a crossing pattern across the middle. Boom. Yeah. They hit him with that, and he ran. But a lot of these times, they're dropping back and trying to throw that bomb, and Hurts is underthrowing most of the time. They have to keep making adjustments to make those spectacular catches that Brown and Smith are making.
Well, they're not going to be – that Smith catch, eventually the rest – that's the third time they've run that this year, when they run that mesh thing. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's a little pick play.
Okay, but it's not going to – you can't do that every time, and that seems to be the only time that they've been particularly successful with the slant stuff is when they run that. So,
he did hit the tight end and go over the middle a couple times yesterday.
He did. He hit Calcaterra.
Calcaterra played well.
One was
yesterday.
Like a seam, I think, seam route, and then I don't. Thank you for the call, Omar. They tried Saquon yesterday, and that was the first bad game that Saquon's
played. Yeah, they gave Saquon the ball. By the way, no, we can't criticize Saint Saquon, but
we're running out of bounds.
Well, yeah, I was just about to go through the sequence.
Yeah, okay.
I thought we're getting positive like today. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying that with this part of it, just not the positive part.
Wow, Saint Saquon. That's
Saint
a new
Saquon.
One.
Well, I mean, listen, hey, we do act like we can't criticize the guy.
No, that was not a good game.
He's had a couple plays here, and quite frankly, that sequence of plays that led to the blocked field goal, he was a part of two of them that were major. He went out of bounds when, in this town, you don't go out of bounds until you get the first down.
And we had three timeouts.
We had three timeouts, so there's no reason to be in a rush to stop the clock there. Get the first down is the number one thing you should have done there versus preserving time or your body. That's number one. Number two, I don't know what the hell we were thinking about during that timeout that we wasted after he ran out of bounds. They were in shotgun on third and one, right? No, it was second and one this time when he ran out of bounds. They were in shotgun. They call a timeout. We come out, and we still don't have a good play. They go zero blitz, and Saquon whiffs on the block. I don't know what would have happened on that play because, quite frankly, if I'm Jalen and I look to my left and I see A.J. Brown one-on-one in coverage with somebody one-on-one, I'm throwing the ball to A.J. Brown. Didn't look like Jalen was ready to go to A.J. Brown at the snap of the ball. Still, unexcusable. Terrible blocking by Saquon on that play that made it a longer field goal, which led to the field goal block, which led to the touchdown, the only touchdown the Browns scored yesterday. So a couple things there. How about run the ball on second and one or third and one when you have all your timeouts? Why are we lined up predictably in a shotgun formation? Like, why are we lining up in a shotgun formation on second and one? And then on third and one, like, I just don't get it, where you have three timeouts, 32 seconds left to go, plenty of time to manage. You got the whole playbook at your disposal. Why are we acting as if we don't have any timeouts and we have to throw the ball here?
It actually
run the ball and pick up the first down and call a timeout, and that gives you three more plays to work with.
It actually seems like the only time that we are consistently not in shotgun is when they're running the tush push. That's the only time.
Which brings me, ran the tush push a little bit too much in the first half.
A lot of tush push.
And
the middle of the field.
I didn't realize it at the game because I couldn't see it. But rewatching the game today, don't know if we picked up that first down on fourth and one.
Well, I'm surprised it didn't stop the play.
Yeah, don't know if we picked that up. If we did, we barely picked it up.
Yeah.
I mean, they ran that tush push five times in the first half.
And what it's doing is it contributes to that lack of rhythm that we're talking about offensively, because what you're doing is you're taking it down and you're just – essentially, you're not moving the ball at all. You're just getting yourself more downs.
Yep.
And they do it so much, it's become such a crutch.
Definitely a crutch.
That they're doing it in their own half of the field or the center part or the middle part of the field, where you're not at a point where you're just running clock, where you need to score points, you know?
Yeah.
And I would love – when the coordinators talk tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. Is that when the coordinators talk? Someone's got to ask Kellen Moore why they're not under center more. Because they need to be under – if they're going to be running team – well, I just want them to answer it.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah. I'm just saying we do have an insider who's there.
Oh, yes.
Which one?
Put that on your list. We're the only one that matters. Elliot Shore Parks.
Whoa.
He the ones who's there. He's there, man. He gets the first question.
Don't ask him those questions.
It's short circuit.
Ask him something else.
It is pretty. I'm just letting everyone know. I know you're on. A lot of people are on Eagles Insider of the Year Watch. I'm on Worm Watch.
Yep.
And he's let off two straight press conferences.
Questions. So you think they're giving him the question because of the worm?
Always ask the right question.
See, this is where I got defendy. Damned if he does, damned if he does.
Correct.
He's like the head coach.
Correct. Yep. He's not getting any credit. All right. No more guests for the rest of the show. The rest of the show is yours. 215-592-9494. Ike, next segment, I do want to ask, I want to talk about the offense and who specifically is to blame for the lack of success on that side. Is it a Sirianni issue? Is it a Kellen Moore issue? Is it a Jalen Hurts issue? We will talk about that next. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly, pregame, in-game, or postgame. Chickies and Pete's is your destination for the Eagles all season long. Online at chickiesandpetes.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly on Packer Ave. Tonight and every Monday night, Brandon Graham Show at 6, then the Players Lounge with Ike Reese, Hugh Douglas, Elliot Shore Parks, and this week's guest is Landon Dickerson. 215-592-9494. Yoshi in Brewery Town, you're on WIP.
My man's fight, Big Ike, Jackie, baby.
Yosh.
Kind of a happy Monday.
Mm-hmm. What up, Yosh?
What's up, fellas?
What's happening?
Oh, man. Man, I be wanting to keep riding with you in the car, man. But I swear, boy, Spike and Jack be pulling on me to get in the car with them, man. Because this team is exhausting. It really is, man. I'm about to be your age next year, 50 years old, and I'm in pretty good shape. But I feel like this team going to give me a heart attack, bro. What's that? I be stressing. I don't even know why I watched the first quarter of the daggone game. Because what's that? They don't do nothing. The first quarter was, man, I'm with Chuck. It's boring. It's like you want the doze off. Don't make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or something, man. This team is ridiculous, man. And Nick Sirianni, he like listening to the dude who used to do the daggone Vaseline commercial, Dry Eyes. Like, he just rambles and says absolutely nothing. He told the boy in the daggone press conference. This is not going to answer your question. No, answer the daggone question. Don't tell us nothing else. We want to hear the answer real quick. Like, shut up. It's just annoying. Yes, Jalen played a good game yesterday. He didn't turn the ball over. But I need to see 8-9 weeks of Jalen not turning the ball over and passing the ball and getting 200-some yards and multiple touchdowns. I'm going to tell you right now, if he had A.J. Brown and daggone Devontae, he would have turned the daggone ball over. He would not have looked as good as he looked yesterday. Because you can just throw it up and A.J. just catches it. He throw the ball in traffic and A.J. stick those strong hands out and snatch it and just turns around and shake the man off and run it. He threw that daggone touchdown behind daggone Devontae. But Devontae, being as athletic as he is and calm, caught the ball, what's the name, put his hands behind his, partially behind his daggone face, caught the ball and took it to the house. Like, this offense, it looked like Nick called a whole daggone game until it's something that we need to do. And then he said, Kellen, call something that you call in Dallas and maybe it'll work. And it does. Like, the defense, I'm ready for N'Kobe Dean to pull a hamstring so Jeremiah Trotter Jr. can get in there. I'm tired of seeing him. He missing everything. He pitter-pat. This team is just atrocious to watch, man. I'm getting tired. I told Jack a couple weeks ago, I am with him. Jalen Hurts is not $50 million. He's more like 35. Like, I love the kid. I really do. I want him to succeed. But he is not worth this money we're giving him. And I, daggone, what's that? And yeah. Saquon would have broke a big daggone run if he hadn't ran into the back of that daggone offensive lineman.
But he was
trash yesterday. He looked like daggone, what's his name, Miles Sanders back there. Like, he looked like the second Penn State running back. And Coop would have got that daggone sack, but the offensive lineman got pushed back into him, Ike. So we're going to give him a little bit.
No, wrap up.
The boy got pushed into him, Ike.
He went to tackle with his forearm. We can always get better. We can always get better, yo.
Go game again. Go watch it again. I ain't gonna agree with you. I ain't even on your side right now. You my big brother.
We actually agree. What are you disagreeing with?
Nothing. I don't know. They got me confused. My wife starting to sit there and say stuff like, I don't even know why you're watching this game making you upset. Like, and she usually just sit there and shut up and play on Instagram and roll the guns when we score a touchdown and all that good stuff. But now she see her 49-year-old husband stressing. I'm sending a picture that I had to squeeze my daggone Eagles. So I wouldn't break that. I had people texting me, you break anything yet? Like, that's how bad it is, Ike.
I was frustrating. It was frustrating.
Man, it's ridiculous. I'm looking at Sam Darnold playing better than Jalen this year. That's ridiculous. Kirk Cousins just came off an Achilles injury.
I thought Jalen had a good game yesterday.
He had a good game yesterday. I said I need 8 to 9 daggone weeks. We are not going to praise him for one game. He played 5 weeks of mediocre daggone football, and now what's his name? He didn't fumble or throw an interception
yesterday. I'm just trying to be fair and pointing out that he played solid.
Right?
Yes.
See,
when they want negativity, they go to YouTube.
Yeah, well, that's not – I don't like
I argue realism.
I'm a positive guy, Yosh.
Positive Spike. That's what we call it.
Yeah.
Spike, we men of God. We ain't telling them lies. You just a positive – but I ain't going to even go there. I almost said something the wrong way. Let me leave that alone. I'll probably be a little bit more positive tomorrow. This team is frustrating me, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in the daggone deep. I feel like I just took some pre-workout. Like, they are just a headache, man. I'm tired. Nick Sirianni, out there acting a fool, with the daggone crowd. That's why Jalen's saying the good stuff now. Because you know what he's saying? He's saying, y'all see for yourself, so I am going to support him. Because he acting like a fool, so I'm going to keep saying, go ahead, do what you want to do. Be yourself. Because he acting like a fool. He Jeffrey the giraffe. He's for kids.
But hold on, though. Yoshi, for 4 weeks, he wasn't doing that. He wasn't doing any of that stuff for 4 weeks.
But he ain't done it so much. It's just coming up out of him.
They encouraged him. Did you hear they encouraged him to get back to being himself?
You know what? Because they all want him to get fired because they think he's an idiot.
We're going to spin this thing any way we want to spin it, man.
Yes.
Dallas dogged this team. Daggone Washington dogged this team. New York beat this team by more points than we beat them. And now Jalen's kryptonite, New York, we expect him to go up there and win by three next week? Man, I am scared. Then
What are you scared of? What are you scared of? What are you scared of?
Losing to the Giants.
Hold on. There's nothing to be scared of. What are you scared of? You already readjusted your expectations. You don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl. What are you scared of? You want the coach fired? What are you scared of?
You're only scared when you feel like there's something at stake
that you may not get. I think everybody sort of readjusted their expectations, except for me.
Yeah, we're scrappy underdogs now.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't understand. Do you expect them? I'm hearing every day they aren't a good team and they aren't going anywhere. So your expectations shouldn't be that high.
All right, I feel better, Wilson, because you put your hand around my neck. You put your hand around my neck and told me don't be no punk B. All right, I'm back with you, bro.
All right, get out of here.
I'll be it for you, Yoshi. Don't worry.
Yoshi's easier to sway than Ike is. Normally Ike's the one during Mount Rushmore. Yeah.
I just don't know, you know.
All right.
Go ahead.
So, first of all, before we start talking about the offense, A.J. Brown is truly outstanding and one of the best Eagles players I've ever seen in my life. I mean, just to get that out there, I can't believe that the touchdown pass that he caught had the guy hanging on him. He essentially had to reach back with his hand to get it and wait there for it. The guy draped all over him, and he is so strong, like physically strong. Just the combination of speed and strength from him is unbelievable. All right,
yeah.
Now to where they suck. I agree with Donovan. So we asked Donovan McNabb what he thinks the issue with the Eagles' offense is, and his primary thing is that they don't have an identity, really. You know, the time that they really did have an identity, they were running all the RPO stuff, and it was working, and, you know, Jalen in 22, I mean, that was what they were. That's not going to work anymore. So it really comes down to, I don't think any of us are blaming A.J. or Devontae or Dallas Goedert. Saquon Barkley has generally been good this year, and the offensive line has been good. So it comes down to Kellen Moore, Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts. So if I were to ask you, Ike, if you think that the play calling that the Eagles have now, which looks similar to last year, is Nick Sirianni's influence on Kellen Moore, do you believe that that is likely?
I don't know. So I just put it all on Kellen Moore.
Okay.
He's the play caller. He's the play designer. That's what he's here for.
See, here's
what I don't get.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised, right? All this consternation about whether or not Nick Sirianni should be back here or not, and now he's not going to be involved in the offense. It's Kellen Moore's offense. So now you guys want me to believe that somehow Nick Sirianni is overthrowing Kellen Moore and calling plays and interfering, and the Eagles front office is okay with this.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to me that Nick is doing something that is unwanted or unwelcomed to interfere with the offense.
I agree with you. Yeah. It seems unlikely. It seems like a guy who has generally been receptive to the way that he has to be now, just in terms of what his role is. So I don't think that's likely. And I've said it 100 times, I think Jalen Hurts' limitations as a quarterback are hurting the Eagles' offense and their ability to be dynamic. I don't think it's impossible that Kellen Moore is part of the issue. Of course, he has to be. He's the offensive coordinator. But when I see them not doing things that Kellen Moore has done previously, it leads me to believe that Kellen Moore is trying to tailor what he does to what Jalen Hurts is able to do. I can't imagine that the Eagles, I don't think that they want to be a ground and pound team anyway, but
well,
if they are.
They paid a running back $36 million.
Well, if they want to be a primarily a running team where it starts with the run,
Jalen Hurts has to be under center. He is putting Saquon, they are putting Saquon, and they did a little pistol thing yesterday, but that is not the same as being under center. If they want to be a running team, Jalen Hurts has to be under center. It gives Saquon Barkley a huge advantage in that he's already running downhill. It also gives them an advantage in the play action game because you're not running that stupid RPO thing, which nobody believes anyway. Mm-hmm. And it also gives them an advantage in screen passes. If you're running a screen pass from under center, there's a better chance from a timing perspective that that is going to be effective than if he's in shotgun. Mm-hmm. I also think when you look, because, you know, I saw a bunch of talk today about where AJ is running and where is Devontae is running in terms of their routes, and most of them are outside or outside of the hash marks. And you look previous that Kellen Moore put wide receivers, and we even talked about it in preseason, about AJ potentially being in the flat more than he, or rather running across the middle of the field, and we haven't seen that very much. I just have to believe that it is Hurts. And he did not make mistakes yesterday, that for sure, from a turnover standpoint. But every time that he doesn't hit a guy who is there or who is open, that is a mistake too. And I
what do you mean?
Well, if he's missing, if he's leaving plays on the field by not hitting open receivers or not getting rid of the ball quick enough when the receiver is open, that's a mistake too. It's not a turnover.
When you say it's a mistake, I don't know what you mean. It's a mistake by whom? The
Jalen
quarterback?
Yes. I just think he's,
I don't know. I mean, I think the first throw, I know you do. You say that every week. I think.
Well, it's,
well, hold on. Hold
but they're
on.
Not going to perform.
Well, just let me explain from my perspective. Okay. The first play to AJ was AJ. That's a back shoulder read. If the DB is on top of the receiver, the quarterback sees that and he throws to the back shoulder. If the receiver has stacked the DB, then he's going to throw it over the top of the DB. So the first throw on second and five is a miscommunication there where AJ is still running deep versus coming back. So that's not a Jalen Hurts bad throw or anything. That's miscommunication. Fair?
Fair. Absolutely.
Fair? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought he ran the offense well yesterday. And here's what I'll say. Shane Steichen found a way to build his offense around Jalen Hurts and put things in play that made Jalen Hurts a good quarterback and an effective quarterback. The idea that you have to somehow, you're running an offense and Jalen needs to fit into your offense and everything you do, that isn't the mark of a good coach and a play designer. That's why I blame Kellen Moore more. It's his job as an offensive coordinator and play designer to put Jalen in the best position to get the most out of Jalen. That's his job. Call plays that are suited for Jalen the same way Shane Steichen did. Shane Steichen did the same thing.
But that's what they're doing now. And the difference, here's the only difference. The only difference between what Shane Steichen had to do the year he had to do it and what Kellen Moore has to do this year is that there is a book on Jalen Hurts now that there wasn't then. And I compared it earlier to Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons' effectiveness went down significantly when the rest of the league was like, wait a minute. We can stand as far as we want away from you, and you're not going to do anything with it. And, oh, also, you don't want to get fouled. So we can let you have the little things that you want, but when it comes down to meaningful, that there's a book on them. There's a book on Jalen Hurts now that there wasn't in 2022.
Sure, but there's a book on every quarterback, Spike.
Yes, but
that every quarterback has weaknesses.
Absolutely.
That teams focus on. So that's not the issue. Like Jalen, you still got to find ways to be effective. And I thought yesterday he was effective. He ran the ball. He ran the ball decisively. There were quarterback play call runs in there that people wanted to see. So he was able to do that. How about the 3rd-and-2 play to win the game late, to get another first down where they ran the option. He fakes the pitch to Saquon and keeps it and runs. Like, those are good things. Those are positive things. Those are positive things. I think we have to readjust what we expect to see out of Jalen. Like, that's all it is readjusting what you expect to see. And I don't expect to see a 300-yard passer every week. It's great when it happens, but just like when I watch Lamar Jackson play, I don't expect to see a 300-yard passer when Lamar Jackson plays. But when it happens, It's great. It's nice. But for the most part, Lamar Jackson is going to beat you with plays with his legs. He's going to extend plays, and there's going to be a play or two, three, maybe four, where he hits a play down the field somewhere to a receiver. But that's a running team, and he's effective by being the style of player that he is. I think if we're constantly believing that he's going to play to some level where we're all satisfied with the numbers, with the completion percentage, amount of touchdowns, I think that's just constantly moving the goalposts, pun intended, for him to reach a new bar. Maybe this is what he is, and you just have to win this way.
It's just
how it is.
We'll continue this right after I tell you about, look, sometimes watching our offense, scary. Sometimes looking at the car that you're driving, even more scary. It's old, it's banged up, it's crappy, you got to replace it. John Ashdale, Cars Are a Team of Colonial Hyundai, want to make it not scary for you, want you to ghost that ride. Every 2024 Hyundai on the lot needs to disappear like a ghost, get it? Great deals, over 200 vehicles on the lot. An Elantra, a Kona, a Tucson, a Santa Fe, 0% financing for up to 60 months, and they're going to give you the highest trade-in value in the region. Consistently recognized for that. $6,500 for your trade, guaranteed no matter what condition it's in. And this part, not scary at all. Every new Hyundai comes with Hyundai Assurance and America's Best Warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Ghost your ride with a deal on a new car that won't come back to haunt you. Online 24/7, ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. Before we get to the calls, one final thing. So if we have our expectations of Jalen as they are, you still think this can be a top-level, dynamic NFL offense?
Yes.
Okay.
Because you know why? I think the skill positions are dynamic. I don't care how they get the damn ball. I've seen a lot of pop gun arms. They have great wide receivers or what have you. Like, I've seen a lot of that throughout my years. I've seen a lot of it. And let's be thankful that we haven't built an offense where everything is reliant on Jalen to carry the team. Like, let's be thankful they do have two of the top 10 to 15 wide receivers in all of football. Let's be thankful that they do have a top five running back in all of football, a top five offensive line. So Jalen doesn't have to be spectacular every week. He just needs to not turn the ball over. He doesn't turn the ball over, they're going to win the majority of their games.
215-592-9494. Bobby in Philadelphia. You're on, excuse me, you're on. Jack, why don't you tell him he's on WIP?
Yeah, Bobby, you're on WIP.
All right.
There we go, I'm good. Bobby, you're
Come on
WIP.
Come on, Bobby, lock in.
Right. Buzz, if you don't tell people, if you don't check in with people, I'm gonna set the producer studio on fire. I swear I am.
Sounds like a fact.
Anthony, you're on WIP.
Lisa.
Yeah. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Look, one question. I'm gonna try to clear a few things up. Okay.
Yeah.
Suppose you play a great game and you lose. The other team plays a little bit better, but the bad referee call or something like that, you lose. Suppose you play ugly and you win. These all count in the win and loss columns, okay? I will take.
Dude, they beat the Browns play. Yesterday. What are you talking
Let
about?
It cook.
What are we listen, talking listen, about? They out. Beat the Browns.
Listen, hear me out. Hear me out.
We just did this. Whatever. I'll hear you
Look,
out. All right, I'll hear you
They're
out.
A professional team, too. Okay?
Barely.
I don't care. They're a professional team. I will take the next 10 games that they have all being ugly wins if they win.
Did you say that last year? You calm down. Mr. 10-1 last year. When they were 10-1 last year, what were you saying then?
No. I'm saying that they collapsed. You didn't hear me.
Yes. We just did this last year. They looked the same.
No, but they collapsed. You didn't hear me. I said that I will take the next 10 wins if they're ugly. I didn't say lose. I will take 10 more ugly wins.
But what does that matter? What does that matter?
It means we're in the playoffs, Jack.
Congratulations. What does it matter?
Oh, everybody doesn't go home in the first round.
Yeah, I know.
Like some teams.
The Eagles did last year.
Well, I'm going to tell you one thing, too.
Sixers did last year, too.
I'm older than you guys. I'm older than you guys. I go back to the 90s. I'll never forget it.
Amazing.
The year when the San Francisco 49ers won the Super Bowl, the Eagles put a beating on them. they still won the Super Bowl that year. Look it up, 94. Look it up.
It was Monday night, right? Monday night?
Right.
Blowout win, yeah.
Right. The Eagles put a beating on the 49ers.
Anthony.
Yeah, we don't have Steve Young, Jerry Rice, Deion Sanders.
Anthony.
AJ's better than Jerry Rice.
Anthony, let me ask you this. Let's take wins and losses out of it. Do you think to be a good football team, you have to consistently play well?
Well, yeah, but like
okay, No. Just give me that. Yes or no?
True.
Okay. Do you think – just let me add – come on, man.
Play along, Ant.
Anthony, okay. Do you think the Eagles have consistently played well this year?
No.
Okay, there. That's all we need to know. Are they good or are they not good? Are they good to your eyes? Do the Eagles seem like a good team to, when you're watching them, wins and losses aside? Don't you have a better chance?
Now.
Don't you have a better chance of winning a lot of games if your team is like, I don't know, good?
Right, but the season's not over yet.
No, you're right. But I can't talk about Week 14 in Week 6. Or
well, and
week
also,
seven.
If it didn't look like it did last year, we wouldn't be as freaking out the way we are right now.
Right. Okay. I hear exactly what you're saying. But
Thank you.
I said, luck is the season first. Let's see how they finish. Okay.
All right. Win's a win.
Yeah. We'll pick up the show the end of December. I appreciate the call.
That's what the camera tried to do with his preseason predictions.
Yeah, he did try to cheat.
Unbelievable.
Check back with me later.
What
do you think is going to happen this year?
I will try not to say a win is a win.
Listen, it's okay.
I will try not to say it, but I can't help it. That's the former player in me.
I know. Hard to win games in this league.
Hard to win games in this league, man. They get paid, too.
There it is. If it was against a good team, that would be fine. They beat the Browns.
I agree.
Dude, Deshaun Watson was 11 of 13 in the second half. They made him look competent.
I think you're the only one who predicted they would cover.
Yeah. So get out of here, Jack. What are you talking about?
I said 20 to 13.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, did you? I thought you predicted them to cover.
No.
I don't think any of us did.
It was an Eagles line.
We all had the exact right, different versions of the exact right score. Yeah, we were right. All right.
Freaking Mets are up 6-0.
The top 5 at 5 is next.
He's
Jack,
struggling.
Jack, you're doing game balls.
Game balls.
You know, there going to be 5 of them?
Mark Vientos is unbelievable.
All right. Get him out of here. All right.
Can someone get him out?
No, shut up.
We can't get it back, Jack. It's over.
It's a top 5 at 5 next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.